Chapter 5. The man in the fedora took a step toward Butters, drumming a slender book against his thigh with one hand. "Stand aside," he muttered, and Dead Phil sidestepped. Butters had scrambled back into a corner, his eyes the size of glazed donuts behind his glasses.
"Wow," he babbled. "Great entrance. Love the hat."
The guy in the fedora took a step forward and reached out with his other hand, at which point I decided to act. A raised hand isn't much in the regular world, but from a guy in a long coat with his own flock of zombies, it had to be at least as menacing as pointing a gun.
"That will be enough,"
I said, and I said it loud enough to hurt ears. I stepped away from the wall with my left hand extended. My silver bracelet of heat-warped shields hung on my wrist, and I readied my will, pushing enough power into the bracelet to prepare a shield to leap up immediately. The bracelet was still pretty banged up from the beating it had taken the last time I'd used it, and I'd only barely gotten it working again. As a result, it channeled the energy pretty sloppily, and blue-white sparks leapt out and fell to the floor in a steady drizzle. "Put your hand down and step away from the coroner." The man turned to face me, book thumping steadily against his leg. For a second, I thought he was another dead man himself. His face was so pale. But spots of color appeared high on his cheeks, faint but there. He had a long face, and though it was pale, it was leathery, as if he'd spent years in the blowing desert wind and sand without seeing the sun. He had dark eyes, thick gray sideburns, no beard, and a scar twisted his upper lip into a perpetual sneer.
"Who," said the man, his accent thick and British, "are you?"
"The Great Pumpkin," I responded. "I've risen from the pumpkin patch a bit early because Butters is just that nifty." "And you are?" The man studied me in silence for a long second, eyes focused on my sparkling wrist, then on my throat, where my mother's silver pentacle amulet was probably lying outside my shirt.
"You may call me Gravain. Walk away, boy."
"Or what?" I said. Gravain gave me a chilly little smile, thumping his book, and nodded at his unmoving companions.
"There's room in my car for one more."
"I've got a job already," I said, "but there's no reason for this to get nasty. You're going to stand right there while Butters and me leave."
"And I," he said, his voice annoyed.
"Was that?"
"Butters and I, fool. Do you seriously think that a defensive shield barely held together by a clumsy, crude little focus will intimidate me into allowing you to leave?"
"No," I said, and drew my .44 revolver from my duster's pocket. I pointed it at him and thumbed back the trigger. "That's why I brought this." He lifted his eyebrows.
"You intend to murder me in Cruar Gelidus?"
"No, I'll do it right here," I said. "Butters, get up. Come over here to me." The little guy hauled himself to his feet, shaking, and edged around the empty, staring gaze of the late Phil.
"Good," I said. "This is moving along nicely, Gravain. Keep it up, and I won't need to make forensics pick your teeth out of that wall behind you."
Butters scuttled over to me while Gravain thumped his book on his leg. The necromancer stared at me, barely sparing a glance for Butters. Then a slow and fairly creepy smile spread over his face.
"You are not a warden."
"I flunked the written." His nostrils flared.
"Not one of the council's guard dogs. You are, in fact, more of my own persuasion."
"I really doubt that," I said. Gravain had narrow yellow teeth and a crocodile's smile.
"Don't play games. I can smell the true magic on you."
The last person to talk about true magic had been Necro Bob. I had to fight off a shiver.
I guess that's the last time I buy generic deodorant."
"Perhaps we can make an arrangement," Gravain said. "This need not end in bloodshed, particularly not now, so close to the end of the race. Join me against the others. A living lieutenant is far more useful to me than a dead fool."
"Tempting," I told him in the voice I usually reserve for backed-up toilets. Butters got to me, and I bumped him toward the door with my hip. He took the hint instantly, and I sidestepped to the door of the room with him. I kept my eyes and my gun on Gravain, my readied bracelet drizzling heatless sparks to the floor.
"But I don't think I like your management technique.
Butters, check the hall." Butters bobbed his head out and looked nervously around.
"I don't see anyone."
"Can you lock that door?" Keys rattled.
"Yes,"
he said. "Get ready to do it," I said. I stepped out in the hall, slammed the door shut, and snapped,
"Lock it! Hurry!"
Butters fumbled with a key. He jammed one in the door and turned it. Heavy security bolts slid to, with a comfortably weighty snap, an instant before something heavy and solid hit the door, hard enough for me to feel the floor rattle through my boots. A second later, the door jumped again, and a fist-sized dent mushroomed half an inch out of its center.
"Oh, God!" Butters babbled. "Oh, God! That was Phil! What is that? What is happening?"
"Right there with you, man," I said. I grabbed him and started walking down the hall as quickly as I could drag the little guy. "Who else has keys to the door?"
"What?"
Butters blinked for a second.
The other doctors. Day security and Phil."
The door rattled again, dented again, and then went silent.
"Gravain's figured that out too," I said. "Come on, before he finds the right key. Do you have your car keys with you?"
"Yes, yes. Wait, oh, yes, right here,"
Butters said. His teeth were chattering together so loudly that he could barely speak clearly, and he stumbled every couple of steps.
"God! Oh, God! It's real!"
In the halls behind us, metal clicked and scraped on metal. Someone was trying keys in the lock. "Butters," I said. I grabbed his shoulders and had to resist the urge to slap him in the face like in the movies. "Do what I tell you. Stop thinking. Think later. Move now, or there won't be a later." He stared at me, and for a second I thought he was going to throw up. Then he swallowed, nodded once, and said,
"Okay."
"Good. We run to your car. Come on." Butters nodded and took off for the front of the building at a dead sprint. He accelerated a lot faster than I did, but I have long legs, and I caught up pretty quickly. Butters stopped to hit the buzzer at the guard station, and I held the door open wide enough to let him out first. He turned right and ran for the parking lot, and I was only a couple of feet behind him.